is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, here today.
Hello, I'm back again.
Great to be with you guys.
Yes.
And we're not just talking about, what does pride look like when it shows up in our marriages? That's where we've been in several shows lately. But, and the reason why is you got to figure out what chokes out love. Right. Too often, everyone just jumps in and wants to pump sunshine into love, or just, let's do this. Let's take a trip. Let's plan something. Let's start a new hobby together. Oh, maybe even have a baby. Add a wing on the house. And doing things together is good, but that is not on the level of heart change.
Mm-hmm.
What you can take a trip to another country and be mildly excited that the day has finally arrived and you planned it together, but if the way you're relating to each other because of your heart is the same,
right,
you'll experience the same frustrations only in another time zone, in another country. And so we're trying to get to the heart of it by leading you to God's word, because he knows us. And he says in 1 Corinthians 13, that great love chapter, love is not puffed up and it does not parade itself around trying to make it all about him or her. And so we've been trying to talk to you, what would it look like to be killing it? You know, what are some habits you could put
right.
in place?
And I think
in your
when
marriage?
You said, you bring out a good point. Sometimes in marriage, we think, wow, this will really help my marriage, this one big thing. And once again, you know, we like to plan things and go away or have a special date night. None of that's wrong. But the things that we're talking about are the things you do in and out every day. And like you said, if it's at a heart level, it's affecting just your, not only your day-to-day interactions, your minute by minute, your hourly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's affecting all of your interactions, and that's much more important on a long-term basis instead of all these special things. Like, I'm about special things. I like special things. But
it's really about what is happening in the ordinary.
Yes, because
when
so
ordinary,
much of life is ordinary
gets better, the whole marriage gets better.
Because
it's funny that you'd say that, honey. I remember when things weren't good, how it seemed like almost every time we would finally have a date night. Or we would finally have a half of a Saturday.
Yes.
And we would be sitting in a restaurant, a nice restaurant, and just have this huge fight. And sadly, I remember, I bet you remember too, because it had to have been hurtful. I remember how often I would say, there we are sitting in candlelight in a restaurant. Why do you always do this? Do you remember saying that?
I don't remember that. Why
do you always do this?
We lived in Columbia, South Carolina, and so Asheville, North Carolina was only like about 2 hours north of us. And I think we got someone to keep. We just had Lauren, then the child, you know, the baby, which is a big deal to try to find someone that will keep your child.
Yeah.
None of our parents lived in the same state ever, have still not. And I just remember thinking, we get to go to Asheville. And I think we were spending the night in a Red Roof Inn. That was about all we could afford. I mean, it was nice enough. I just remember sitting on a picnic outside of Red Roof Inn.
Picnic table?
Mm-hmm. In Asheville, North Carolina, thinking, oh my word, we're finally away in this beautiful mountainous place that we've planned on coming to. We've spent time, money, we've gotten a babysitter, and we are so miserable.
Yeah.
It's like you said, we just took our same problems with us to now a beautiful place, Asheville. And I just remember thinking, being so exasperated, thinking, what is wrong with us?
I just remember it happened so often, because it was rare that we could do something because we didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
But when we did it, it was usually miserable because we took our same hearts with us. And so we're talking to you about what actually changed our marriage.
So I really love what you say. We're talking about ordinary. If you can get ordinary, then when you actually are able to go on vacation or have something special planned, it's all that much better because the ordinary, though, that's like 95% of life or 97%.
Because even now,
let's get that better.
We'll just say, oh, it's a sunny day. Hey, want to go for a walk down to the end of the street or around the block and back? And ordinary has become so sweet.
Yes, I agree.
Because just the way we relate to each other and our thoughts about each other. Because I know when I'm with you now, this person is for me,
right?
Not against me. My guard doesn't have to be up.
Exactly.
I don't have to be. I think in
this
the
is
past,
a safe person.
I constantly, and you probably felt it too, it just felt like, this is my adversary. I've got to be careful because there's a skirmish kind of going on constantly between us.
A lot of things that have happened between us that are still not resolved.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. So I feel for our listeners because some of you are in that type of situation. Oh.
But I hope as you hear this, what we want you to hear is, and God, by his grace, led us to another place, a better place. Now, it didn't just happen overnight. But wow, once there was a breakthrough.
Yes, it was pretty amazing.
Don't you agree there was a breakthrough? Yes. And I think one of the biggest breakthroughs was when I saw I am prideful, rigid, inflexible, haughty. I'm high. My opinion is always the best.
Right.
And so then you felt that. I felt it from you.
And so I think when we were finally able to actually admit I'm at fault with some things.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one of us had ever done that.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunately a new dawning for us, but a good dawning. Yes.
So we're talking about how could you get moving in a different direction, forming some new habits to stay vigilant on this. And so we're taught about making it easy for your spouse and other people or those that live closest to you to tell you things about you. So think about it. When your spouse starts to tell you something about you that's not wonderful, do you cut them off? Do you interrupt? Do you finish their sentence? Do you start arguing, defending, deflecting? Or do you, by God's grace, just say, oh, God, help me to listen and not just begin to argue and push back? I think about James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 that says,
yeah, I love that
let
verse.
Every person be quick to hear. We were not quick to hear in our marriage.
No.
We were quick to talk, quick to hear, slow to speak.
Yeah, we get those backwards.
And slow to anger. Yeah. So often we're quick to speak, quick to anger, slow to listen. And and God knows us.
And slow to wrath.
Yeah. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. And very often I found that I was guilty of jumping in and speaking to her when I really haven't even heard her first and understood where
she's
coming from.
Very hurtful. I mean, it was just hurtful.
And that's why Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. And so I realized, and I can still be guilty of it. I feel it about to happen. It was too easy to judge why I thought you were doing what you were doing.
Right.
And then just base it on that and go with it. I was assuming.
Yes.
I was assuming and judging. And I hadn't even heard you. I hadn't given you a chance. I hadn't. And so we've said it before, but as you relate to your spouse and other people, go asking questions.
That's so much more helpful.
Not making accusations. Go asking questions, not making accusations.
And then I think too, if your spouse does go asking questions, be truthful.
Yeah.
Don't play little games like, no, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Oh,
and I am grateful for that. You have never been someone who plays games.
We don't have time for games.
Well, a lot of people seem to make time for it, but I'm grateful.
That's just so exhausting.
But I will say, back to reference to people being wired differently, I know what I think and why I think it in 2 seconds.
Right.
Vicky doesn't.
Right.
Has nothing to do with stupid, dumb, smart, IQ.
Well, I hope not.
No. So I had to actually begin to settle in and believe she doesn't have to be wired like me. So sometimes she will say to me, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what's bothering me
right
now.
Let me think about it.
But I know that she doesn't lie and she's always honest. So
true.
I can go with that. I can say, okay. Because here's another thing that you want to practice. When you sense that something might be off, I didn't used to do this, I'll just say to Vicky, have I offended you in any way? Are we okay?
Right.
Are we okay? Have I offended you in any way? And I need to know that she's actually going to be honest.
Right.
So make it easy for your spouse to tell you
something. That's not helpful if your spouse actually humbles themselves to ask that and then you still really don't tell them. That's just, you're not going to get, you're going to spin your wheels.
Yeah.
And I do think also it's good. We've talked about this, but if you finally do have an opportunity to say something, the welcome mat's out, just bring one. Don't think, finally, I'm going to
please
just say
hear that
everything that's happened for the last 10 years. Oh. That just is so unfruitful. That is water under the bridge.
Well, and it doesn't matter even if it was just the last 10 days.
Right.
Bring one thing. One thing.
Because they're still human beings, and it's already hard to hear.
It's so hard to hear.
But that makes it easier when it's just one thing.
Do not start saying, and you, and you, and you.
They're just going to shut you down.
But very good point, Vicky. You should never be reaching into the past.
No.
And saying, that's just like, and we never should have,
and I think,
and you didn't listen to me,
right?
And I told you.
I understand why people do it. It's like, oh, we're finally on this subject. I'm just going to bring up everything I've ever not liked. Well, don't do that. That's just so counterproductive to.
It's too much. They're going to stop hearing what you're saying.
Right.
You will.
You just lost.
They will shift into, you are Charlie Brown's teacher. Womp, 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 womp. One thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just bring one thing. And then here's what expresses true humility. As they bring you one thing,
mm-hmm.
just receive it and say, thank you. I'll think about that. I want to work on that. Don't then say, well, let me tell you one or two or three things. Let me help you understand what's behind that. Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Just receive it. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a second tool or second way to be cultivating humility and killing pride in your marriage so that love could thrive instead of barely stay alive.
And we will be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a second. But what they're teaching today, humility in marriage, specifically how it is easy for your spouse to correct you, most marriages fail in that aspect. They do. They really, really do. Because the moment your spouse starts to say something you don't want to hear, you cut them off. You defend yourself. You deflect. Brad and Vicky are showing us a different way today. How to receive correction gracefully. To ask, hey, have I offended you? And actually want to hear the honest answer. That kind of marriage transformation requires consistent resources. And those resources are being produced and distributed at Fortis Plus. Fortis Plus is our app that you can get all of the content that we've been creating here at Fortis Institute, and you can get it absolutely free of charge. I'm talking hundreds, even thousands of hours of audio and video content available to you right now to start viewing and listening to. And it's not static content either. We actually are adding to it every single day. And again, like I said, it's free of charge. You can download it right now and see exactly what I'm talking about by going to the App Store, where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply just go to fortisplus.org. And I said it's free. Remember, and the reason that it is free is because of Gospel Partners. Our Gospel Partners are men and women just like you who have been impacted by the content that we've been creating here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they decided to link arms with us so that more people in more places all over the world can have access to this content. They're helping us reach the farthest corners of the world with biblical content from biblical minds who want to teach truth that actually helps people. You can find out what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now on our website. But first, make sure that you are faithfully giving to your local church. That is hands down your number one giving priority as a Christian, is your local church. And if you're not giving to your local church, do not give to our ministry or any other ministry for that matter until you get that area of your life taken care of. And once you do, if you do want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, head on over to fortisinstitute.org. You can find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, Jimmy, that was a place for a break, and now we're back. Check, 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 check. Oh, you're listening to the Thrive. And we're talking about what would keep your marriage alive or would move it off of life support back out into the sunshine, put some oxygen back into the lungs of your marriage. Well, very often you got to figure out what is it that's killing and choking out love. You can take the same situation, the same heart, the same way you relate to another country. You can try to have a hobby together, but if the heart doesn't change, there will be no change. And so one of those heart issues that the Bible talks about and the Holy Spirit puts his finger on is pride. So we're saying, how could you be more aware of this and how could you be killing it? Well, number two, ask God to help you live ready to repent quickly. I know repent's not a word that we use very often today anymore, but we should. Ready to repent quickly. The word repent simply means a change of mind and attitude that is so strong, it changes the direction of your life. So you could say a change of thinking in my marriage that is so strong, it changes the direction of my marriage, what I actually do in my marriage. Because so often people want to argue all day long. Well, yeah, I've changed what I'm thinking on that. But their behavior didn't change at all. If your behavior didn't change, it isn't repentance.
Right.
You might have just mulled over a new thought, but you didn't own it, embrace it, and say, here we go, God.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I'm wrong. Help me go in a different direction. That's what repentance is about. Because repentance, by its very nature, has a humbling effect on us. If you make repentance a regular part of your life, there will be little room for pride. Martin Luther, the great reformer that nailed the 95 thesis on the door of the Wittenberg Church, he actually said, Christians should be characterized by a life of repentance. I think sometimes we save that for like once in a blue moon, like there's going to be 2 points in my life where I needed to repent.
Yeah.
But we're thinking of cataclysmic, huge, catastrophic things. What he is indicating is exactly correct. If you will be a sinner from now until you die or Christ takes you home, you should be repenting regularly from now until you die or Christ takes you home.
Mm-hmm.
And so consider this. This is something else that Vicki and I put in place in our marriage that's been a game changer. We do not just grunt around over what we've done wrong.
Yeah.
We do not just kind of vaguely indicate, oh, yeah, probably shouldn't have done it. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we actually do. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I was wrong. And then we say what we did wrong.
Right.
When I cut you off and I didn't finish your sentence, I was wrong when I acted so.
When I was irritable with you.
Yeah. Whatever it was, I was wrong. That's how you start.
Mm-hmm.
Name what it was and then say, will you please forgive me? And here's what's going on. Whenever you speak in terms of forgiveness, you're moving your marriage and the way the two of you relate right back to the center of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Christians are supposed to be people that are characterized by Jesus, gospel, salvation. You are never standing as close to the gospel in any point in your marriage as when you're saying, will you please forgive me? You know you've been forgiven.
Right.
And now we're able to forgive each other and we should ask for forgiveness and humble ourselves.
Because sin is going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's what you do after that that's causing your marriage to either
thrive or die. Sin happens.
I mean, it's going to.
And so many couples aren't doing what they should do with it. Gary Thomas, I've told you, has one of my favorite marriage books, Sacred Marriage.
Love it.
Listen to what he says on this. Gary Thomas, he says this, couples don't fall out of love as much as they fall out of repentance. Sounds like he's listening to Martin Luther. You know, country songs love to act like, you've lost that love and feeling, you've fallen out of love. Well, you may have lost that loving feeling, but you lost it with specific instances, one after another, after another, where the feeling was killed. Because sin wasn't addressed in the right way. He says, couples don't fall out of love as much as they fall out of repentance. We don't fall in and out of love. Love gets smothered and choked out by the other sin weeds that we allow to grow in the garden of our marriage. And pride is one of the biggest, ugliest, deepest, nastiest roots. You don't fall out of love. You fall out of doing the things the Bible say needs to be done to keep love alive. That's why I love my favorite repentance verse is Acts 3:19, which says, repent so that times of refreshing may come.
I love that word, refreshing.
Didn't you almost feel like the windows were opened and a fresh wind blew into our, and our circumstances changed not at all.
Right.
Same mobile home, same income. We were still poor. We still had two little kids. We still had a car that didn't run. And oh my goodness, it felt like winds of, I haven't forgotten it. Have you?
No. And I think we've mentioned this before on the show, but we actually wrote down, we were given as our homework, was just to write down, I'm supposed to write down any way that I've ever sinned about against Brad that I've not asked forgiveness for. And he's supposed to do the same thing with me. And we would, when we ask forgiveness, and it seems so like, okay, this is just something we're doing on pen and paper, but it really did help clear the air and start afresh and anew.
And it was good exercise to think.
It took a while.
Outside of general terms, how have I sinned against my spouse? What is it that I've been, what, I mean, specifically, what have I said?
Right.
What have the hurtful things been? And what is it that I'm doing? And
I really like that, like you said, so that times of refreshing may come.
Yes.
It really just sounded, it was like a reset. Let's have a reset,
that's
a
right.
reboot on our marriage. And it really did that.
And I mean, because remember, we've quoted it already, James 4:6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
When you humble yourself and you begin to see your own sin and you begin to own it and repent of it, what that refreshment is comprised of is grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's the winds of grace.
Right.
Because when you are killing pride and trying to cultivate humility, God sends the winds of mm-hmm. grace. If you ever wake up wondering, why is this so hard? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, this is hard right now.
And we can't seem to get much traction.
Very often, it's
keep
hard.
Our crossed.
When it's graceless.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you have a graceless marriage. I know. We lived it.
We did.
You have a graceless marriage. And God never thought you could do marriage without grace.
And don't you agree, Brad? I just think when your spouse apologizes to you and says what they did wrong, I don't think less of them. I think more.
Yeah.
Because I know that. Let's say, I mean, it's me and you. I'll say, when you apologize to me and say you were sorry and ask for forgiveness, I don't think less of you. I actually respect you more because I know how hard that was to do that. And I just think, wow, I am married to a good man.
I mean, I don't sense that I've been diminished in your sight by practicing now for several decades, coming to you and saying, I was wrong when I,
I'm just
please
like,
forgive
yeah, you
me?
Were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it still happens recently. It was just maybe it wasn't last week. Maybe it was just a few days ago when, I don't know if you remember, I bet you do. It was early in the morning. We're still having coffee, Bible time, all that.
Okay, I'm
and she just looked at me and said,
oh,
we probably should bring the hoses in. We should probably bring the hoses
in. I was going to Knoxville to visit his mom with two of my daughters. And I thought, hey, it's supposed to be warm this weekend. We should probably bring the hoses in.
Yeah. And she didn't mean anything bad, but
I'm telling you
what. Here's what's the honest truth. I'm still such a sinner, you guys. It just rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, she didn't use the F word. She didn't say it in a derogatory way. She just said, oh, you know what? Probably should. But something about that rubbed me wrong. I thought, I don't want to be told that. I don't. Oof.
And so, he did have a busy weekend coming up.
I didn't snap back. Yes, I was teaching Friday night and Saturday. But I don't want to make excuses.
Thank you.
It was wrong how that just
and I can tell, that ticked him off.
And so I just kind of went away and said, yeah, I probably should. Kind of answered
and
like that.
And left real quickly.
And you know, I sit back down in my chair. I'm reading my Bible and drinking coffee. It's like the Holy
Good
Spirit
coffee.
Said, Brad, what was that about?
And I said, I was in my room thinking,
I just don't want her telling me stuff to, you know, it's like I felt so juvenile trying to argue before the Lord what that was about. And this word, you know, times of refreshing, it felt so good when I just thought, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just need, do you remember I came back to you
I
and I said, honey, I was wrong a minute ago when you mentioned the hoses probably should be brought in. I don't know what was wrong, why I did that, you know, just, but never mind making excuses. Will you please forgive me?
Right.
And
so yeah, that was just last week.
It felt, and then I added it to my list and it was no big deal. When I got home from teaching the conference on Saturday, it was a pretty sunny day. It was on my list, bringing the hoses. I rolled them up. I brought them in. No big deal. But what I want you guys to hear is here we are with a marriage that we think is thriving way more than it was. But can you see We have to stay on this.
Mm-hmm.
My pride is not dead.
And mine isn't either.
Thank you. Vicky's pride is not dead.
He's waiting for you to say
and
that.
And so we are trying to be killing pride so that
tense.
We can be cultivating love. Hey, you know what? I love you, baby. Love you too. This just might be what's been missing in your marriage. Too much pride that's way too alive.
See you next week.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.